Mr. Falcon, if you'd like, would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal, sir?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, please.
3 minutes, sure. Come on up and begin whenever suits you.
May it please the Court. I'm going to bring two questions before you today. The first is, may the Workers' Compensation Commission reasonably infer that a walk-in freezer is slippery? And the second question is, if they cannot, then does a slip and fall inside a walk-in freezer where the slippery substance is not identified constitute a compensable injury by accident? If the answer to either of these questions is yes, then the Commission's decision in this case must be reversed. My name is David Falcon, and I represent Sabrina Lewis, the appellant in this matter. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. The facts of this case are largely undisputed. Ms. Lewis was working as a manager in a restaurant when she walks into a walk-in freezer, slips, falls, and hurts her knees. There's no question that she was in the course of her employment. There's no question that she was in a walk-in freezer. The only issue before the Court today is whether the evidence before the Commission was sufficient to support a compensable injury by accident, and we hold that it did. Now, it's well established that in order to establish a compensable injury, the injury must arise out of a risk of the employment. It's not enough to say, I fell. It's not enough, in some cases, it's not enough to say, I fell at work. You have to be able to tie the fall itself to a risk of the employment. Okay. What are some examples of things that the Commission has held that are a risk of the employment? Ladders, stairs, dangerous work environments. The Court has also held, this Court has held, that the injured worker does not need to prove what substance they slipped on. Now, in this situation, what we have is the testimony of the injured worker stating that she walked into the freezer and then she slipped and fell on her knees. She does not describe the substance which caused her to slip, and what we ask is that the Commission simply infer reasonably that a walk-in freezer contains risks such as ice, water, that could cause such a slip and fall. The trial court, or the trial deputy, did so. He reasonably inferred that the claimant slipped and fell, and that constituted a compensable injury. The Commission reversed, holding that the claimant did not sufficiently identify the substance on which she fell, or sufficiently tie that fall to the nexus of the employment, and that's what brings us here today. We would contend that the fact that she omitted the substance is actually irrelevant to the issue of whether or not her slip and fall arose out of the employment. One thing I want to point out is that the use of the word slip is critical to this case. All right. Now, had she said simply, I fell in the freezer, then I don't think we'd be here today, and I think I'd have to agree with Mr. Alexander that there is an insufficient connection between a fall and the employment. But the fact that she says slipped is important for two reasons. Number one, the Supreme Court has actually drawn a distinction between a fall, a stumble, a slip. That's the case of Richmond Memorial Hospital versus Crane. That's a situation where somebody did not use any of those words. They just fell. And so the Supreme Court went to lengths to point out that she did not use those magic words. You can fall and not know why you fell. You can trip over your own feet and it not be a work-related injury.
Along those lines, let me interrupt you for just a second. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there some testimony that she made a statement to the doctor, not that I fell and was hurt, but I was hurt and then I fell? My pain caused me to fall, something along those lines.
There might be some, I believe that's correct, Your Honor, and I think that goes more to the defense of medical causation, which is not before the Court today, but it is before the Commission. At the end of my argument, one of the things I'm going to ask is that the matter be remanded to the Commission for a determination of those remaining defenses. Obviously, were the Commission to find that this was an idiopathic fall or this is a result of some other medical condition that the claimant suffers from, then that claim is non-compensable. However, we haven't reached that point yet. The sole issue here is whether or not the testimony that she gave and the evidence in the record is enough to support that it arose out of the employment or not. But I do believe that that exists in the record. With respect to the issue of, slipping, tripping, falling, the court in the Richmond case points out the distinction between those. But the simple fact is this. Like I said, you can trip for reasons unrelated to the employment. You can fall for reasons unrelated to the employment. But the moment you use the word slip, The implication is that something caused you to slip. You didn't just slip on your own. There was actually something on the floor that caused that to happen. Furthermore, I believe the fact that she's working in a freezer, a sub-zero environment, presents its own risk of the employment, irrespective of what may have been on the floor. There may have been nothing on the floor. She's walking into this walk-in freezer. She's walking out with, the testimony shows that she's walking out with things in her hands. I believe that that is enough to tie this to a risk of the employment.
Can I ask you on that, though? Because the commission, we have to review the commission as the fact finder.
Correct.
We're not, of course. And the unanimous commission, in its opinion, said the claimant never stated nor reported to anyone that anything about the freezer area or otherwise resulted in her slip and fall. She did not say that the object she carried contributed to the incident in any fashion. Is that not a factual finding on both of those points?
It is, Your Honor, but I think it's inaccurate because I don't. What I think the commission is doing is I think they're actually enlarging the burden of proof on the claimant. Because if you look at the commission's case in Twodowski versus Cedar Nursing Home, which is a case from 1984, it's a bit old, but it's still good law. You have the claimant in the same sort of situation there. She says, I was walking. I don't know what caused me to slip. I don't know what the substance was. No substance is ever identified, and no cause of the slip is ever identified in that case. Commission says, that's fine. That's compensable. And in fact, they cite to the Richmond versus Crane case in that, saying that once she established that she slipped, that was sufficient nexus to make it a rising out of the employment situation. So despite the fact that she may not have identified the substance, despite the fact that she may not have said, I lost my balance because I was carrying heavy objects, I think the moment that she says she slips in the freezer, that gets her there. That's our position. There are other similar cases as well that the commission has found in which they've said that the individual is not required to positively identify the substance in the situation where it could
be. Basically, just to follow up on your question, Mr. Falcon, so you're basically saying that the freezer, a walk-in freezer, is sort of like steps or a ladder. It's enough danger or risk there that if the commission says there's no testimony about what caused her to slip or fall, they're just plainly wrong.
That's
if they make this conclusion.
That what I'm saying is that it's a two-part argument. The first part is that you can infer that there was, in fact, ice or water or some slippery substance that caused her to slip. But even if you don't go that far, I'm saying that the fact that she was in a walk-in freezer provides sufficient risk of the employment. Yes, Your Honor. And so in these other cases, what you have is a similar fact pattern, one in which she doesn't identify the slippery substance. That's the Stevens versus Anheuser-Busch case that I cite in my brief. The other one where the claimant or the injured party says it could have been this or it could have been that. I don't know what it was. And that's similar. That's the Jennings case, similar to the situation that we've that finds us here today. The other issue is with regard to the reasonable inference. This court has held that the commission is permitted to make a reasonable inference from the evidence. So I'm not asking the court to place itself in the position of the fact finder. What I'm asking them is to hold the commission to that standard, that when the trial court makes a reasonable inference, unless it's plainly wrong, the commission should be bound by that and should abide by that. So, Your Honor, one of the other issues that brings us here today is the first report of injury, which is a document that is required to be filed by the employer or insurer within a certain period of time. That's Section 65.2-900 in the Code of Virginia. That's a document that appears in the hearing record. We would contend that it becomes part of the hearing record.
It was never introduced into evidence.
It was not. I'll concede that. Okay. However, on review, the commission is permitted to look at all documents, whether or not they were introduced into evidence, whether they're part of the hearing record, such as medical reports, the claim for benefits of the claimant, for instance. This court has supported the use of the first report of injury to corroborate hearing testimony. Although we would agree that the document itself was not introduced, it is a document that was produced by the employer insurer and does contain information that is consistent with the claimant's testimony. So, Your Honor, what we would ask that this court find is that the claimant's slip and fall inside of a walk-in freezer arises out of the employment. We would ask that this court reverse the commission's finding in that regard and remand the case to them for consideration of the remaining defenses. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got some time for rebuttal.
Great.
May it please the court, my name is Andrew Alexander. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I will talk about the first report of injury, Froy, first, and then shift to talk about burdens of proof, standard of review. The Workers' Compensation Commission is an administrative agency that handles tens of thousands of claims. And some of those claims, it's administratively determined that they need to be referred to the judicial department. And at that point, it gets assigned to a deputy commissioner, the hearing officer. And in this case, that's what happened. There was a dispute over the compensability of the claim, and there was a trial that took place before the deputy commissioner. What happened and is happening in this appeal is that an administrative document called a FROI is now being, I guess, moved into evidence now that we're at the Court of Appeals level. This is the first document that's in the appendix, the FROI. This is what the insurance company reported to the commission administratively. It's not part of the trial record, wasn't ever introduced as evidence, wasn't offered, there was no foundation, no authentication. Was never discussed before the full commission, and now it was designated as part of the appendix for this appeal. So it's not before, it's not properly before this court. The appellant does make a statement that I think the statement is that the court can take judicial notice at any point in the proceeding, meaning I guess this court could take notice. Conceivably, additional evidence could be coming if that's really the rule. But I think the proper rule is that the evidence has to be introduced to the hearing officer, and the hearing officer has to admit the evidence, and that would include the FROI, which is basically just a data set that the insurance company submits to the commission electronically. And then the commission basically creates a database, and the two entities share information that way. So the FROI was not admitted into evidence. I believe Mr. Falcon said that there's information in the FROI that corroborates the appellant's version of events. It doesn't exactly corroborate it either, but it's not before you. So I don't think that this court should consider any information in the FROI. Moving on to the second part, I think if we were in Richmond before the full commission, because the full commission occasionally hears oral argument on appeals from the hearing officer, then it would be proper to argue, okay, you should draw this inference from this testimony. You should draw this inference, you know, from this, because the freezer is cold, you should just automatically infer that that's what caused the fall. But before the Court of Appeals, that's not the proper standard. The Court of Appeals is bound by the factual determinations made below, made by the full commission. And the full commission determined that she did not fall due to any foreign substance or peculiar risk of her employment at this restaurant, which was a Denny's restaurant. The full commission wrote in its opinion that the claimant has the burden to demonstrate that the conditions of the workplace or some work-related exertion caused the injury, but simple acts of walking are not risks of the employment. So what the commission did in its opinion is it made a determination that this was just a slip and fall. There was nothing else that contributed to the fall. And that factual finding is binding on this court. There was a little discussion, it wasn't a lot of discussion by Mr. Falcon, but it was definitely briefed, the standard of review. It is a mixed question of fact and law, whether the injury arises out of the employment, but the factual determinations that were made below are binding on this court if they're supported by credible evidence, and that includes the factual finding that that no substance or condition of the workplace contributed or caused the fall. And as you're familiar with the hearing evidence, there's plenty of credible evidence that supports the commission's finding that this is a simple trip and fall. We had the general manager come to the hearing and testify that there was no water present, and that when the general manager talked to the appellant, that she just said that she just slipped and fell. As you touched on, Judge O'Brien, the medical evidence is pretty overwhelming that the appellant had a very significant osteoarthritis, very severe pain, went on for years and years, and she was in more and more pain at work, and she reported to her doctor that because she was in so much pain at work that she had several falls, and that's what she reported to Dr. Tao, her personal doctor, after the accident at Denny's, that she was in so much pain being on her feet for 10, 12, 14 hours, that's what caused her to fall. And there was no reference to a slippery or foreign substance that caused her fall in those initial reports to Dr. Tao. And then also there was an orthopedist who worked for Kaiser named Dr. O'Reilly. She didn't mention anything about a foreign substance or a slippery surface. And then just to turn to a couple follow-up points, I disagree with the appellant's argument that as soon as you say slip, that all of a sudden it brings it within the realm of workers' compensation. I mean, the claimant is welcome to testify that she slipped, but then the defendants can present evidence as to what actually happened, and that's what happened in this case, is there was evidence, it was presented, the deputy commissioner made a decision, the full commission made a decision, and so that's what happened. So I don't think that just because there's, you know, testimony from one witness that there was a slip, that means that there was a peculiar risk of the employment causing the slip, and that wasn't proven in this case. If there's no further questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we take a quick break?
Sure.
Just a few points on rebuttal, Your Honors. The last point that Mr. Alexander made regarding the slip, I want to just be clear that the appellant is in no way asking this court to determine that once a claimant slips on the job, then that automatically becomes compensable. Rather, what we're asking the court is to reverse the commission's determination that this slip in this freezer under these circumstances was a compensable injury by accident. It's a question of form over substance. When you look at the hearing record as a whole, which we believe does include the FROI, the first report of injury, it's apparent that the claimant suffered a compensable fall in the freezer on ice. That's what was written in the first report of injury by a representative of the employer or insurer. The claimant doesn't create that document. That's a document that's created by the defendants. Another point with regards to the introduction of new evidence. We're not asking for new evidence to be introduced. It's our position that the FROI is evidence that has been in the hearing record all along. Whether it was relied on by the trial deputy in determining that the claimant had met her burden, whether it was relied on and discarded by the full commission, it's part of the hearing record, regardless of whether it was introduced as an exhibit at the underlying hearing. Now, finally, I'd agree with Mr. Alexander that this court is bound by the factual findings of the commission. But I would also point out that the issue of whether or not this claimant's fall arose out of a risk of the employment is a mixed question of law and fact and is reviewable de novo. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We will come and greet counsel, and then the court's going to take a brief recess.
All rise.